Talk Sport. Now, Ang Turnquist has written a fine book, which we can't actually read the full title of. It's called Follow Expletive Orders. This time of day, sadly, we can't give you the full title, but you can make your own mind up. The gangland execution of a Swedish football star. It's troubling stuff. It tells,
shocking story.
Certainly is. It's all in there. Loan sharking, mafia-like behaviour, organised crime. Of course, a murder of a fine young player and others. And you'd think, where's this all going on? Somewhere in Italy? Not at all. It's a small city in Sweden. And Anne joins us now. Good afternoon, Anne.
Hi there.
You put quite a lot on the line uncovering all this because in making it, the very people that ultimately were sort of charged with the offences were threatening your life, weren't they?
Well, the gang leader had some opinions on the style of my reporting. That's the diplomatic way of saying it. But yes, he did tell some people to shoot me in the head, basically.
Wow. And obviously, the fact that other people had done that for him must have been quite scary.
It was scary. At the same time, like, they would have stood too much to lose. I mean, it's one thing to threaten a journalist, but actually kill one. I mean, it would have been unsmart for them, basically. But yes, it was scary.
How did you
and
first
that's the thing about threatening people? It's really effective.
Yeah, of course. Which you write about in the book. Hmm. But how did you first learn about this story?
Well, it was quite well covered in Sweden because it was the biggest investigation into organized crime. But in terms of the football player, Eddie Musa, I was actually abroad when he was murdered. So I kind of, it was on the periphery of my vision. You know, I wasn't quite paying attention. But then the trial started going and it was just really interesting. A lot of people involved, a really complex situation in this town. There were questions of immigration and integration and culture. And this all took place in a community that originally comes from Middle East, and my family lived there for like 10 years, so I felt quite at home in that context. I mean, not in the loan sharking context, I should add, but in the cultural context.
Sure.
But these murders were committed to scare the rest of the community into silence, but they failed, didn't they, following this murder of the footballer because he was popular?
He was really, really popular. I mean, he really was a footballer who was on the cusp of greatness, you could say, because he'd just come back to his original club and he developed tons. And he told his sister that he was going to do a tryout for Dynamo Kiev. So he was really kind of plucked before his prime. But the thing is as well, I mean, they shot him with a Kalashnikov 17 times. I mean, it's not even like, you could easily kill someone in the darkness at night without witnesses, but this was very, like, it was like a in your face, the entire community.
He was a bit of an innocent in all of this as well. He hadn't been involved. He died alongside his brother, didn't he? Was there any evidence that he was the target and sort of Eddie was the collateral damage, or were they after him as well?
No, they were after Eddie, as far as I understand it. There were some personal conflicts. I mean, someone had killed someone 6 months before. There'd been a drive-by and retaliation that Eddie is believed to be involved in. Well, actually, it's that I happen to know that he was involved in. So he wasn't actually super naive. And he did, I mean, the other guys, the established gang were loan sharks, as in they targeted like small businesses. But Eddie was actually loan sharking on a smaller scale because he would go to like these gambling joints and offer kind of like, you know, on-the-fly loans to gamblers. So I wouldn't say he was totally innocent, but obviously that doesn't justify being killed.
How was this allowed to happen? You kind of think in a fairly small city in Sweden, why did no one get a hold of this earlier?
I mean, Stockholm, this is Stockholm County still, and there's obviously it's the biggest and dirtiest town in the country, so there's a lot of crime going around. But the local government had been warning the police for years. They were like, there's loan sharking, there's this informal loans market. And they'd also been warning the government, saying that, like, if you allow people who seek asylum here to live wherever they want, they're going to come to towns where people speak their language and understand their culture, which is natural, but we have a housing shortage. So you have this black housing market, like this under... Basically, they were saying there needs to be political action in order to make sure there's not all these vulnerabilities, but nobody listened to them. I spoke to the mayor last week, actually, because I'm thinking of an op-ed, which is like, none of this would have happened if we listened to that town 10 years ago. But they didn't.
Has the story shocked? I mean, we like to think of Sweden as a pretty liberal place, really. And, you know, I'd imagine this has come as quite a shock to a lot of people.
It was a shock because, I mean, I remember thinking, I grew up in quite a cute, you know, like Sweden, where I feel like the front page of the local paper was like, oh, two bicycles stolen next to the station. And then all of a sudden we were like murdering each other with Kalashnikovs. And I'm like, I'm sorry, was I not paying attention? What happened? Yeah. And I'm hoping that the murder of Eddie was like a one-off, that it was really like a weird outlier in statistics. But now, I mean, people kill each other with Kalashnikovs, not every day, but like the gang violence is an enormous problem.
Wow.
And the politicians have finally woken up. But I mean, it would have been nice if they'd woken up 10 years ago, because we knew about this. When Eddie died, when his brother died, we knew about this.
I mean, the crime syndicate involved, the network, they did rely on a mayor, didn't they? The mafia code of honour.
It's hard to break this.
The rule of silence. But in the end, it all fell down when someone was brave enough to speak out. And so that ultimately, and it probably was Eddie Moose's execution that did that, because he was popular.
Well, it contributed, but what also happened is that it gave the gang leader this... I mean, he was already a bit pompous, but it gave him such hubris that he just kept going. So, like, fine, loan sharks, awful people, but as long as you give people enough time to pay back money, it usually kind of ticks along. But he had hubris, and he started... I mean, I would, like, lend you £10,000 on a Monday, and then on Tuesday, I'd be like, oh, by the way, I need it back. Actually, make it £100,000.
Right.
So he actually just pushed people over the edge, because, I mean, one of the people in the book says, I wanted to stay. I would have cleared my debt, but I can't clear my debt immediately. And also, they never forgive. So that's why he went into hiding. I mean, he went into witness protection.
Right. And the ringleader, what sort of time are they serving now?
He has a life sentence, because right. He went down for... instigation of 3 murders in total. One of them was Eddie. Plus, you know, like aggravated extortion and usury and illegal threats and kidnapping. Life in Sweden means that you can apply for parole after 20 years, but there's absolutely no guarantee. Like, life can be life. And when he threatened me, because he was already in jail at this point, when the actual prison phoned me to warn me, I remember thinking, this is a really stupid thing to do if he wants to get parole.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's quite...
But the others, I have to say, though, the others are all out.
Oh, really?
I mean, and 3 of them were just convicted again for aggravated weapons charges and aggravated narcotics charges. And I went to the trial, and when they came into the courtroom, I was like, oh, my God, they look so old and haggard. And then I realised it'd been 10 years. I'm like, I probably look really old and haggard, too.
Well, Anne, it's quite the story, and thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
And Turnquist there from over in Sweden. Mm. And the book is called Follow Orders.